favor. Take your pump.
Where'd I put it?
Now wave them around. Wave them around. Look around. All right. You guys were a little too much the frozen chosen on the way in this morning. The kids got it, but now you've learned. I've always had a real affection for the opening of worship on Palm Sunday. Seeing the choir process with their palm branches, and especially this morning, the little kids. It's almost like the church's version of a parade. Now, we don't have as many parades these days, it seems. And the parades we do have and see on television are more like Broadway production numbers than old-fashioned parades. It seems that as I was growing up on the northeast side of this city, that parades were more a part of my life. It always seems that there was some sort of community parade that our scout troop participated in. I can't tell you how many times I marched from the town club down to Lake Drive following the fire trucks. And growing up here in Milwaukee especially, we had that spectacular annual parade of the historic circus wagons. These parades were all about being together, all about celebrating together. When I was in Vermontville, Michigan, a little tiny town of 750 people, there were Founder Day's parades. And even the Big Apple has its own Easter bonnet parade. But you know what? These are all about breathing life back into their community's history, bringing its past into the present and setting it on course for the future. When the church self-consciously waves their palm branches about as we begin our worship, we're trying to do the same kind of thing. And as we attempt to recreate that magical moment when Jesus processed into Jerusalem, we reveal a vital truth about ourselves to our friends and to our neighbors. This truth is, we are Christians. Our faith has feet. This parade is part of a vital heritage, a history of sacrifice and service. A history of triumph and love. And I really believe that it's up to each new generation of believers to keep this story, the story of this moment, alive so that Jesus himself lives on in the church. Just imagine what it must have been like on that first Palm Sunday. It must have been a crowd scene to behold, with dense mobs of bodies and enthusiastic voices of all kinds of people from all over the region. It was a joyful climate, like ours was this morning. You know, on Palm Sunday, there should always be a lack of restraint, a touch of whimsy, an air of abandon. Someone called Palm Sunday God's pageant. Because this is viewed as a kind of dress rehearsal for next Sunday's celebration of the resurrection. As the Gospel of Luke tells it, pilgrims were walking toward the city to celebrate the Passover. One by one, two by two, whole villages emerged into the city. Waves and waves of pilgrims from all over were coming for the celebration of the high holy days of Passover. If you remember, the Passover was the yearly observance of the deliverance of people out of the land of Egypt. Remember that the people at that time had fallen into a state of servitude again. Only now, instead of being held captive in a foreign land, they're living as an occupied people, living under the giant thumb of the Roman Empire. Well, somewhere among this throbbing maze of humanity are the Galileans, the friends of Jesus. You know, they're easy to recognize, those disciples from Galilee, They wear their hair long, but their eyes, they sparkle with amazement. And they're out there shouting loudly in the street. In the midst of them, riding a young donkey in the heat of the sun and the light of day, is Jesus. It's a kind of street theater, this whole event. A dramatic action that turns the message into a picture that no one can fail to see. Someone remembers the words of the prophet Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, for your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. Imagine, there's shouts all around. Here he comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're swept away. All of the crowd becomes bursting with hope and excitement about the possibilities that lie ahead. When the crowd hits the city, they must have gushed through the streets, the narrow, winding streets. Kind of like a springtime torrent of rain, like a river bursting its banks. But you know, in any joyful time like this, there's always someone who can't handle a parade. The Pharisees who approach Jesus on a legal principle, they're the ones here that strike the sour note. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he responds to them, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. You see, the contrasts in this story are compelling. The Pharisees are so sullen, and the crowd, on the other hand, is so ecstatic. The disciples are jubilant, but Jesus is sitting quietly among them on a donkey. But you know, it's the line in this story that comes next. And it jumps right out at us. And Jesus says, and when he drew near and saw the city, Jesus wept over it. Just imagine coming down that hill and seeing the city. When Jerusalem comes into view, that city which held such joy and such sorrow, Jesus cries out, would that you knew the things that make for peace. With the conflict in our world, we too cry out, oh, that we would know the things that make for peace. Oh, that we would believe that evil can be met with the force of love rather than the power of force. A man rides a donkey into the middle of town. No tanks, no guns, no weapons. Only humility and an abiding sorrow for the selfishness of humanity. One of the most remarkable things about Jesus and about those who have acted on his behalf in the world is that he never counted the world as being unworthy of his suffering. He was able to love humanity at its most unlovable. Jesus didn't expect righteousness. He taught it. He taught it knowing that love is always more powerful than hate. And when he wept not for himself, but for the city. And we weep for all the cities today that experience conflict in their daily life, and where the peace has to be enforced with arms. The cheering throng fully believed that Jesus was a prophet sent by God. And they hoped that he would overthrow the government and be crowned the new ruler. But you know that they missed entirely the purpose for which he was sent. The realm of their eager expectation was completely different from the realm of the reign of Christ. Even though the skies were bright and calm on that morning, Jesus had a sense of what awaited him. And it was not a glorious jeweled throne, but a stark wooden cross. You see, Jesus' struggle was not against the oppressive forces of Rome. It was the principalities and the powers he opposed were much stronger than that. He opposed the demons of hate and violence. He longed for the law of love to rule. Love which was inclusive and open. Centuries later, Gandhi would describe that same love as nonviolence. Such love moves beyond the walls of selfishness and greed into a solidarity with the opposed and the broken of the world, encircling everyone. You know, it really took supreme courage. It took a fierce tenderness and a heart of love to ride into that city on a donkey, bringing only peace. Jesus teaches us that it takes strength, not weakness, to live with a bottomless desire for peace. It takes strength and not weakness to reject violence and live with unconditional love for the world, and to be willing to suffer on its behalf. So on this Palm Sunday, having a parade is a good thing. It helps us remember those events from so long ago. Our job as followers of Jesus is to live our lives with the same convictions. To live with courage and vulnerability. With grief and hope. With love and a continuing longing for a peace that encompasses even those that we call our enemies. Oh, that we will know the things that make for peace. Amen.